Greetings and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Payne and I'm the chair of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You'll find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in worship together, and it's my joy to welcome you to this time at West End United Methodist Church. Wherever you are, we welcome you and are united in the Spirit of Christ this morning. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. There is a link that you can copy and put into your browser that will take you straight to the registration form. And there are opportunities as you register to share prayer concerns and let us know some of the things that you're praying for in your life right now. I want to say a special word of welcome to the DeVault family who are here in the sanctuary this morning to celebrate the sacrament of baptism with their daughter Cecilia. So it's always a joy to have you here and to worship together in person. A few announcements that I want to share with you as we move ahead into this next week. This afternoon from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we'll be having our drive-through trunk or treat event. This is sponsored by our preschool. And we do ask that you register online so that we know how many kids to prepare for and how much candy to bring. And it will be, as I said, a drive-through event, and the kids are invited to wear their costumes and celebrate this fun time of year. Then on Tuesday, we are having a service of prayer and lament at 6 p.m. We will have the ability to worship in person here in the sanctuary. We ask that you make a reservation if you'd like to come in person, since we'll need to limit our numbers. And you can go on the website, westendumc.org/prayer-service, to do that. The service will also be live streamed. And then the Breezeway will be open from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. if you'd just like to come by and light a candle. The purpose of this service is to give us an opportunity as a community of faith to lament and to grieve the over 200,000 deaths that have happened at the hands of the COVID virus, as well as other ways that we have experienced death and grief during these past few months. Many of you have lost loved ones and friends, and we want to spend a little time grieving together and turning to God, who always is with us. And some of this is preparation for All Saints Sunday, which we will celebrate next Sunday, and give us an opportunity to celebrate the hope of resurrection. Finally, I want to invite you to sign up for one of our Project Thrive conversations. This is open to the whole congregation, and we hope that you'll pick one of these dates and join in the conversation and tell your story about how West End became the body of Christ for you. The dates are November 4th, a Wednesday at 6:30, and November 8th, a Sunday at 1 p.m., and there are links to RSVP on our website and in our newsletters. And finally, just a reminder that next week we fall back, we move the clocks, so just so you're ready and on time for worship next week, we want to remember to do that. This morning in worship, we hear the final controversy that Jesus has with religious leaders in the temple in the middle of Matthew's gospel. And out of that confrontation comes the greatest commandment of all. So let us open ourselves to hear God's invitation to love.
Thank you. before we knew your name, you knew us and loved us.
Loving God, may we love you with all our hearts.
Omniscient Lord, nothing about us is hidden from you.
Loving God, may we love you with all our hearts.
Compassionate Lord, your love for us never fails. Let us come now before God with our confessions, trusting that God is loving, merciful, and able to forgive all our transgressions. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Please do that in whatever way works for you, wherever you are this morning.
Peace be with you from the Galatians.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ben and Mary Scott DeVault bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Ben and Mary Scott, it's my privilege to ask you these ancient questions of the faith, which Christians have been answering for centuries. The first question is, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And people all over the city, all over the state, all over the world are answering, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. Amen. And what name have you given your beautiful child?
Cecilia Jane DeVault.
Cecilia Jane DeVault. I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who sustains us and comforts us. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to invite you and your mommy and daddy and all of your family and everyone here to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Cecilia, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to invite you and your parents to stand right there so everybody worshiping at home and everybody here can see you together.
And now will those in the congregation please stand and face Cecilia Jane. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Cecilia Jane to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson from the Gospel, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our children's time today will celebrate our third grade Bible milestone. This past week, our third graders received their Bibles. And normally we would celebrate this important faithful step in worship together as a congregation and pray for our students. But since we weren't able to do that this year, we handed them out in the parking lot last Sunday after church and this week by delivery. We give the Deep Blue Bible to our third graders, which has all kinds of resources for the kids to learn and study the scripture. And we hope that this Bible will help them continue on their journey of faith as they grow in their knowledge and love of God and as they share God's love with the world. So let's celebrate these third graders who received their Bibles. Savannah Bacher, Meredith Barker, Keith Dunavant, Lucy Garrison, Elizabeth Geiger, Tyner Goldsby, Henry Howerton, Liam McGuire, Anna Lane McMillan, Henrik Meyer, Anya Morgan Curtis, Thomas Rutterer, and Peter Weiss. We're so excited for them, and I invite you to pray for these children this week and celebrate with them this important milestone. Now we're going to get to enjoy some pictures from our celebration.
To go ahead and apologize for changing the mood so quickly after the children's choir, after the beautiful baptism and the celebration of the third grade Bibles. I want to mention for just a second that we finally made it through the final presidential debate. The second of two debates was actually hosted in Nashville. I don't know how many of you watched it, but it actually went better than the first debate. We got to hear some of the positions and policies and opinions of the two candidates. A debate is a long-standing tradition, centuries-old tradition. Whether it's a political debate or a religious debate or a philosophical debate, the art of the debate has often been a very fruitful practice. When done in good faith, the parties involved in a debate can come and present their ideas, speak their truths, and then listen as another person or other people share their ideas and their perspectives. And sometimes out of that kind of conversation and engagement can come something new, a new creative idea, a different perspective, an aha moment. That's why the debate, the argument, the in-depth conversation has been a regular part of religious practice in the Jewish community. In Jesus' day, it was a common thing for rabbis and teachers and religious leaders to gather around together and talk about the scriptures, to argue over the Sabbath regulations and how to honor the Sabbath, to talk with each other about the different commandments, and to disagree and to wrestle with each other in the hope that new insight would arrive. So it's that kind of debate and conversation that seems to be happening in our scripture text this morning. Now, if you've been worshiping with us for the past few weeks, you know that Jesus has been in the temple and that for several days he's been challenged by religious leaders of different sorts, political leaders as well, Pharisees, Sadducees, the chief priests, the Herodians. And this is the final challenge, and it comes back again from the Pharisees. And it sounds on the surface like a typical Pharisaic conversation. A lawyer steps up, an expert in the law, a scribe, and asks Jesus, of all of the 600 plus commandments in the Torah, which one do you think is the most important? No doubt this was a conversation they had had many times among themselves, and they wanted to get Jesus' perspective. Now, I don't know if this lawyer approaches Jesus in good faith. I don't know if he really, in his heart, wants to hear what Jesus has to say. Given all of the other conversations that have been happening, it could be that this man is testing Jesus. He's wanting to expose him in some way in front of the crowd. He wants to get the best of Jesus. But Jesus answers the question in good faith. Rather than do what he sometimes does, is return the question with the question and get the Pharisees all tangled up in their own answers, Jesus simply answers the question. And the way he answers the question is new. He does something new and creative in his answer to this question. He takes two different commandments from two different parts of the Torah. From Deuteronomy, he takes a part of the Shema, which was a prayer the Jewish people would say every day, every time they entered the synagogue. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the first commandment, Jesus says. Love God with all that you are. And then he does something new. He reaches in to Leviticus and pulls out a second commandment that he joins with the first one. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Connecting once and for all the love of God with love of neighbor and love of self. It is all one. It is all about love. And Jesus says with great authority, on these two commandments hang all the other commandments. Every other thing that we do, that we say, that we believe is an outgrowth of this love for God and love for neighbor and love for self. It all comes down to love. It's so simple. And yet it is the work of a lifetime. How do we love God? How do we express our love for the God who created us? What does that look like in our daily living? How do we love our neighbor? And by neighbor, we know Jesus meant everyone. How do we show love for each person we encounter every day? And how do we learn to accept and love ourselves as God loves us? My friends, maybe the best we can do is keep this commandment in front of us every single day. Maybe the best we can do is to read these commandments again and sit in silence for the next 5 or 10 minutes and pray and ponder over them. There's so much to say and to do, to live into and live up to the greatest commandment. But rather than stand here and try to explain to you what I think it means, I'd like to tell you a story that I think reveals what this love might look like in daily life. I came across this story when I was reading Howard Thurman. You may have heard of Howard Thurman. He was a teacher and a preacher, a theologian, a Christian mystic. Some call him the pastor of the civil rights movement. It was his theology, his practice, his understanding of love that helped shape the nonviolent movement in the civil rights era. It's said that Martin Luther King Jr. carried with him everywhere a copy of the Bible, the Constitution, and Howard Thurman's book, Jesus and the Disinherited. Thurman was born in 1899. Was raised by his grandmother, Nancy Ambrose, who had been born into slavery. He describes how he used to watch his grandmother and how she interacted with her neighbors. He and his grandmother lived in a segregated neighborhood in Daytona, Florida, but they were the last house at the end of this neighborhood. So that right next to them, their next-door neighbor was a white woman. This woman was very unhappy to be living next to a black family, a family of one who used to be a slave. Now, she was mean to everybody, apparently, but she was particularly hateful to Nancy Ambrose, her next-door neighbor. And so one day she decided that on a daily basis, she would just scoop up the bottom of what was in the chicken coop and dump it over into Howard Thurman's grandmother's yard, just as a sign of her disgust. Howard Thurman said he never quite understood why his grandmother didn't confront her and didn't try and get back at her. But years later, the neighbor became sick. And because she had been so mean and ornery to everybody, there weren't many people who came to see her or to take care of her. She was alone. And so one day, Thurman's grandmother made some soup from the vegetables in her garden, trimmed some roses from her rose bushes, and went over to see her neighbor. She knocked on the door, and at first the neighbor was very suspicious and disgruntled and didn't want to let Miss Ambrose in, but when she saw the soup and the flowers, she said, "Come on back." So Ms. Ambrose followed her back to her bedroom, and she was so weak and tired, she immediately got back into the bed. And she looked at the roses that Ms. Ambrose had brought and said, "My, those are beautiful roses. Where did you get those?" And Thurman's grandmother said, "Well, in a way, you helped me grow them. You know, all that manure you threw into my yard every day over the years, I decided to turn it over in the soil in my yard and use it as fertilizer. So it helped these roses grow to be so beautiful. And it helped these vegetables grow that I've made into soup for you." The woman said nothing. But as she tried to eat the soup that Nancy Ambrose had brought her, she was too weak to bring the spoon to her mouth, and so Nancy Ambrose sat next to her, and spoonful by spoonful, she fed this neighbor love. Somehow, this woman, who had been born into slavery, who had been preached at by white preachers who told her it was her place in the world to be a slave and that she should obey her masters. Somehow she learned that she was beloved and whole and beautiful in the eyes of God. She learned to love herself. Somehow she learned that the God who created her was a God of love, and she learned to love and adore and delight in her God, made known to her in Jesus. And somehow she learned to look at this neighbor who so abused her and see a child of God, and to feed her spoonful by spoonful love. How do we love like that? It all comes down to love. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we believe should be an outgrowth of love. Love should shape the daily living of our lives. It should shape how we treat our next door neighbors. It should shape how we treat our family members. It should shape how we shop, how we vote, how we do business, how we treat the stranger, how we disagree. Our invitation from Jesus in this story is to grow ever deeper in love with God, with neighbor, and with ourselves. And the gift of the church is that this is our place to practice. These are the people we can trust to show us how to love. We've made a promise to help little Cecilia learn what faith is all about and learn how to love. And so we get to show each other and forgive each other and hold each other accountable as we grow deeper in love. And just as Thurman's grandmother changed the heart of her next door neighbor, she changed the heart of her grandson, Howard Thurman, who then went on to write and change the hearts of people in the civil rights movement, who then went on to change our society and change our world. Love isn't just about individuals. It's about the world. But it all starts with a spoonful of vegetable soup.
I invite you to join me in the World Methodist Social Affirmation found on page 886. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe. God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity, based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people, because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology, which endangers the earth and life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And as we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. And you are also invited to share your prayer requests in the feed, but do remember that those will be public. Oh God, prepare us now for a time of prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O holy God, you have called us to that which is greatest, to love. But it is so easy to lose sight of that. As we have so much lately, we are feeling the heaviness of our world and our bodies, our minds and our souls. Our frustration is real as we see the cases and deaths continue to rise as a result of COVID-19. Our sorrow is loud as we continue to witness the acts of indifference and injustices towards our siblings of color and of other beliefs. Our anxiety continues to grow as natural disasters continue wreaking havoc on the lives of so many. Our hopelessness can be deafening as our nation continues to become more and more politically polarized. Our shoulders are tight, our fists are clenched, our brows are furrowed. But may we relax our bodies in this moment as we sit in your presence. Because, oh God, we still see your love in the midst of it all. We thank you for the strength that we have seen in the numbers of people who have already shown up to vote. May that inspiration continue so that we may all be part of your coming kingdom. God, we praise you for the statements that were made this past week that continue to lead other denominations closer towards inclusion of all people in the life of the church. May we be inspired so that our work may continue. And oh God, we delight in the beauty of nature and the gift of seasons. May this season remind us to let go of the things that are no longer serving us, so that we might grasp onto new life in the coming months. Grant us your wisdom, grant us your courage, and grant us your peace. And hear us, O God, our Creator, as we lift up our voices together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we invite Ashley to share our ministry moment with us.
Good morning. I'm Ashley Howerton, and I am the 2021 chair of the ministry table. This position grants me the opportunity to learn about all of the amazing work happening behind the scenes at West End. The ministries of West End focus on using the gifts of our members while also supporting and bettering our community. This work, which has grown and changed over the years, has only been possible through the generous giving of this congregation. The theme of this year's Faithful Giving campaign is the Sure Foundation, which is the perfect chance to recenter our minds given all the uncertainties of 2020. To me, this is the right time to remind ourselves of the strength of our foundation and where we place our trust. Being raised in a Methodist church in Orlando, I understood building my life on God and the lessons of the Bible. Over the past 15 years, West End has nurtured and strengthened that foundation. I've seen love lived out from this congregation. During times of celebration or loss, this church has always surrounded people with support. West End has been the church home for my family, but that term has taken on new meaning this year. They say home is where the heart is, but more than that, home is also filled with the people we love and trust. While I've missed being in this beautiful sanctuary, it feels like returning home to be back here. While we haven't been able to be together much in person, connecting with church friends feels like no time has passed. While this has been a difficult year mentally, I'm reminded of the love and acceptance that have been preached and taught here. In the midst of struggle, my foundation has remained strong. West End has remained strong. The ministries of the church haven't stopped in a pandemic. There have been pivots and turns, trials and errors, but through it all, we are growing. We have new people joining the church and babies being born. The work of the church is still happening. With Turn-In Sunday being November 8th, we are asking everyone to complete an estimate of giving. As John Wesley said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. No estimate is too small or too large, and every estimate helps West End fulfill its mission and duty to be a foundation for the congregation and the community we serve. If you are able, please consider increasing your estimate this year. You can complete the estimate card you received in the mail or go to the church website under Give. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can also give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Thank you. and Jenny Bach. Jenny is a market director with Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and Kevin is a senior financial analyst with Amazon. They're expecting their first baby in March of 2021. This is Helen Gay Brewster. Helen Gay is a medical skincare specialist with Ona Skincare. She's transferring from Pleasant View United Methodist Church in Pleasant View, Tennessee. This is Julie Christou. Julie is an art teacher at AZ Kelly Elementary School and a realtor with Keller Williams Realty. This is Ben and Mary Scott DeVault and their daughter, Cecilia Jane, who is 1 year old. Ben is a client manager for Nielsen Global Connect, and Mary Scott is the director of media at Crisp Communications. Ben is transferring from Alice Drive Baptist Church in Sumter, South Carolina, and Mary Scott is transferring from Auburn United Methodist Church in Auburn, Alabama. This is Chris Harness Gerald. Chris is a retired nurse. She's transferring from First Baptist Church of Fairhope, Alabama. This is Buddy and Kim Hill. Buddy is a regional sales manager with Market Valuation Services, and Kim is a registered nurse. They're transferring from Gallatin First United Methodist Church. This is Kate McBreen and Michael McDonald. Kate and Michael are engaged to be married. Kate is a civil engineer with CSDG, and Michael is a geological engineer with Stantec Consulting Services. Kate is transferring from St. Mary Magdalene Church in Media, Pennsylvania, and Michael is transferring from Hermitage United Methodist Church. This is Hannah and Kevin Parks and their son Brooks, who is 10 weeks old. Hannah is an executive assistant, and Kevin is in sales with R.S. Hughes. Hannah is transferring from Wake Forest Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and Kevin is transferring from Johns Creek Presbyterian Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. This is our very own Melanie Paulson. Melanie is married to Pete, and she is the Director of Operations and HR here at West End United Methodist Church. This is Ian Quillen. Ian is a speech-language pathologist. He's transferring from Church Street United Methodist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is Will, Ann, Lily, and Mary Kimball Vereen. Lily is 18 years old and is taking a gap year before college. Mary Kimball is a senior in college. Will makes fire-resistant clothing with National Safety Apparel, and Ann is a teacher at Battleground Academy. They're transferring from Brentwood United Methodist Church.
Julie, Ben, Chris, Kate, Hannah, Kevin, Jenny, Kevin, Michael, and Melanie, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will.
And for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
What a joy it is to welcome all of these new members into the church. What a glorious Sunday morning we have had together, from the baptism of Cecilia to the singing of the children, and now to welcome these new friends into the faith. So I would invite all who are members of the congregation to please rise in body and in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. A family of God, these friends are now entrusted to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
We are loved, for love is the sure foundation.